I'd back and read that scripture, because if you remember when we were in John, whenever I'm back in the saddle, we'll pick right up in John. I think we're in chapter 16. We're going to finish that if it's the last thing I do. That description isn't of the Holy Spirit, is of the believer. And he said, just as the wind blows, you don't know where it goes, don't know where it comes from, so are those who are born of the Spirit. There's just no explanation for how they live. That's what he's saying. If you're truly born again, you shouldn't be able to explain why that person who's now a new self, and they're only a new self because we're now intermingled with the very life of Jesus, that there is no explanation for how they live. See, I love some of the language today that people use, especially in the millennial generation, which is the most psychological generation in the history of the world. And I don't think it's very healthy because they get a lot of their psychology off of the internet. But a lot of it is, well, what's my truth? What's your truth? One day I was sort of talking to Lord about that. I said, Lord, this thing about my truth. He said, Chuck, I'm your truth. And any other thing that's not me is not a truth. It's a lie. It's a perversion of the truth. And so our purpose in life is to reveal the truth about Christ in every situation. And that's extraordinary. Because the truth about Jesus is he's just extraordinary. There's no explanation for the Christian. There shouldn't be, except the truth about Jesus. By the way we live, revealing the truth about who he is. So I'm going to read you some ordinary time scriptures with some extraordinary reading glasses. So I'm going to read you some ordinary time for the Apostle Paul, and I want to then show you his extraordinary reaction to it all. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now understand what that's saying. He's talking to Christians here. He says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God is flowing through your veins, but when we don't manifest the life of Christ, we are wasting the grace of God. The grace of God is so you can be different, not be like you always were, just with a Christian label to your name. And so he said, the acceptable time, so I'm trying to get there. He says, no, today is the day of your wholeness. That's what salvation means. Now is the acceptable time. I don't have to wait. What you have to work through, I understand, but what are you working towards? Because you're always working towards the truth that's Jesus, because if you don't, you're never going to stop working through. There were times in this journey I've had to work through. I've shared that, the struggle. But I was always struggling towards something. I was always struggling towards Christ-likeness. Not just a struggle to say you're struggling and think spirituality says, well, I'm struggling and I'm going to embrace my struggle because that's just being spiritual because I'm being honest. No, that's just being defeated. You're being honest, but you're being honest about not winning, not being an overcomer. That's not healthy. You can't ever be okay with the working through. The word is working through. Means you're supposed to get through it into something. So here's the problem. Why can't we ever work through? Why do we have to just embrace the struggle? God doesn't condemn you for the struggle. I've said that. If you're struggling in something, that means you're trying to get through it. But if you give in to the struggle and say, well, this is just part of the deal, I'm going to embrace the struggle, the enemy's winning. And what I realize in my struggle, and this has always been true for the last long time, I was thinking about that. And when I was 23, so I'll be 50 years my next birthday of walking with the Lord, but 48 years of understanding what it means to abide in Christ. Been talking about this stuff for a long time, sorting through it. And I've had times I've had to work through, but every time I had to work through, I had to let go of something. I had to be willing to own something and repent of it, even if it's fear. He says, giving no offense in anything, giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry might not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. Now, here's Paul's ordinary time. In much endurance, in affliction, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. How's your day been? That was Paul's ordinary time. What will we say? I just feel so sorry for him. Paul never felt sorry for himself. Look what he says. Now, how did he walk through that ordinary time in an extraordinary way? Because he was a child of Pentecost. He lived his life continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is how he walked through all that. In purity. Wow. In other words, no junk in his heart. In knowledge. I'll come back to that in a minute. In patience. You mean he was patient with the people who were beating him? Who were imprisoning him? In kindness? Yikes. Not grumpiness, not grouchiness, not complaining, not cup of attitude, not anger. I mean, the truth is, right? They were mistreating him. That's truth. He should be angry about that, right? No. This life that Jesus lives is other. One of the things the Lord told me in this whole process, and I've been trying to be honest with you about the places where I've struggled so that you understand, I understand that there's a struggle. But the struggle isn't embracing the struggle. The struggle is you want to get through. The struggle is I have a vision, and that vision is Christ-likeness. And what I'm experiencing isn't that. Lord, show me what it is that's going on, because I'm frightened here. And the words the Lord spoke to me again and again was, can you just trust me with this? And then he said to me, as we're getting towards the end, he said, Chuck, I've been the truth about this all along. He didn't say that he caused it, but he's been the truth about it. He said, those times when you got frightened, that was a lie, because I don't get frightened. When you got disappointed, you know better. I don't get disappointed. Therefore, if you trust me, you don't get disappointed, because those who believe in him don't get disappointed. I know that's a hard one to own. And I know it seems absurd. It's like the one, don't complain ever. That's absurd. The life of Christ is absurd. I'm always repenting towards the absurdness of it all. I don't always get it right, but I know that's the truth. That's my plumb line. I can't allow my neurosis dictate my theology. I can't let my pain dictate my theology. Jesus is the truth. And he's been the truth about this thing the whole along. What I mean is he's standing there, old thing. It was my identity hadn't changed and my purpose hadn't changed, which was to reveal the truth about him. But there's no bitterness here. There's no anger here. There's patience. There's purity. He said, I did this in the Holy Spirit. It was supernatural. In genuine love. What? Towards the people who beat him, put him in prison? Sleeplessness? You ever get frustrated when you can't sleep? You know, because you're not sure if the check's coming in or some reason something's going weird? Paul wasn't sleeping because people were trying to kill him. In hunger? Because he really had nothing to eat. Not just because he was riding down the road going, you know, I'm really hungry. Can we stop somewhere and get something to eat? And the word of truth about Jesus and the power of God by the weapons of righteousness. That was his weapon, not anger, not frustration, but righteousness, the righteousness of Christ for the right hand and for the left. Then he goes, by glory and by dishonor. Some people were praising him. Some people were talking bad about him. I know that's never happened to any of you guys. You ever had anybody talk bad about you? By evil report, people gave bad reports, but by good reports. As deceivers, we were called deceivers and yet true. We were unknown, yet we were well known to God. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, but we weren't put to death. As sorrowful, was there sorrow in some of this? Yes, yet always rejoicing. Man, that's when you're living from the truth. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Wow. If everything you've ever wanted in your life, if you now, like tomorrow, it all showed up in the mail, everything you've ever wanted concerning your children, concerning your health, concerning finances, concerning whatever, your vocation, how do you think that'd make you feel? Probably pretty good. But the minute some of that went away or you started wanting something else. But for Paul, the Christian, he said, I don't have anything, but I possess everything. It's hard for the enemy to do anything with somebody like that. Well, you don't have health, Chuck. You can't get up. We don't know what's going to happen. One of the things the Lord told me, I said, Lord, my struggle is is all the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to get better. How's this going to affect everything I do? Is this? And the Lord said, well, it's not unknown to me. I'm asking you to trust me with it. It wasn't unknown. It was just unknown to me. And I'm not the one who needs to be in control. But I can tell you what I learned. Again, I possessed everything. There was not one moment I was lacking, but sometimes I would forget it. Because to have him is to have everything. And there's nothing the enemy can take from you. Oh, he can try to take things. But what I have to have is Jesus. More than health, more than relationships, more than approval, more than, quote, success, more than whatever. That's Paul's ordinary time. So when we wear green, think about that. We say ordinary time, we're saying ordinary time for the Christian, the one who's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where they're going. There's just no explanation for how they live other than Jesus. Okay? Now, when I say those things to you, I try to be really honest about places where I've had to learn so that you don't feel like I'm rebuking you. I'm not rebuking you. I'm calling you, let's advance together. Don't be stuck in a lie. The enemy's diabolical because he'll just take and take and take and take. You can't afford to have a conversation with him because nothing he tells you is true. He may use facts to lure you into the conversation, but nothing he tells you is true. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.